Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer Soderblom, VASD's Public Information Officer, here with our host, Superintendent Dr. Tremaine Clarity.
Morning, Marcy. How you doing?
Good morning. Well, it couldn't be a better day because today, after three long seasons, we're finally joined by our Deputy Superintendent Chad Wiese. Chad helps lead the district's budget design and management, among other things, as well as VASD's overall fiscal health. And as a former science teacher, Chad has a gift for explaining complex systems, like how multiple factors interact and why outcomes turn out the way they do. We invited him in today because, like many homeowners, we all recently opened our property tax bills and probably had questions. We couldn't think of a better person to help unpack what goes into that number than Chad. Let's turn it over to Dr. Clarity and Chad to learn more.
Again, thank you, Marcy. And again, welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. We're super excited to have you here today. And we get to talk something that's on the mind of a lot of taxpayers across the state of Wisconsin, especially here in the Roane Area School District, and that's the impact of schools and public education funding with property tax bills. Secondly, we, as Marcy alluded to, we are super excited to have our Deputy Superintendent Chad Wiese here. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thank you. Happy to be here. As Marcy said, I finally made it. Finally made the big time in the Verona Area School District.
And as we are putting out there, you know, Chad works side by side with me almost every day, but trying to get this expert to be on a podcast is like tracking down a Yeti. It's just not, it was not going to happen. We finally wrangled him in on a topic that is near and dear to his heart, but I can't think of a better person to explain which really is a complex funding system around Wisconsin public education. So before we get into like the minutiae of the details of today, we'd love to know a little bit more about the guy behind the deputy superintendent title. So Chaz, go back as far, you know, I always tell the audience you can go to birth if you want to, if you can go all the way back, or you can go just so what got you into the space that you are as the deputy superintendent here in the Verona Area School District.
Well, thanks for that, Dr. Clarity. I don't think we have to go back to birth. A little bit about my journey to get into education. I was a student at University of Madison in early and mid 90s, and I think like many, many college age students, bounced around a little bit. I think in the end, I ended up having five or six majors. And graduated with far too many credits because I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And in some regards, perhaps my career path has also mirrored that I've continued to explore and take advantage of new opportunities. In the end, I started my career in education as a science teacher at East High School in 1998, where I was hired by the late, great Milt McPike, and got to spend a couple of years with him as the building principal at East High School. From there, I had 7 great years at East High School, where I was teaching a variety of topics in science and also coaching multiple sports. When I really latched onto was football, where we did have some success and ended up being afforded the opportunity to take over the head coaching job at La Follette High School. After 7 years of the classroom, at that time, my goal was to go and teach science at La Follette, and coach football. And there actually wasn't a science teaching opportunity available for me at La Follette. And there happened to be a dean of students opening at the time, and that's really was I think a pivotal moment in my career where I stepped out of the classroom and did realize that I could certainly have an impact on a school community and on the lives of children, and I didn't necessarily have to be in a classroom with 30 students, and I could have a little, a little greater impact in some regards by being responsible for both adults and students on a greater kind of scope. From there, I spent 10 years at La Follette High School. I eventually ended up being the head building principal for 4 years, and then I had another opportunity to kind of come my way and ended up running operations in the Madison School District for 3 or 4 years, at which time I was in charge of facilities and technology, food service, procurement, transportation, among other things. And then was excited to hop on a new opportunity when Dr. Clarity came to the Verona Area School District, and this position was available. I applied for it. There's been a ton of learning and growth, professional growth for me, with having some new responsibilities tied to the budget. And I think that's really the main reason I'm here today to discuss a little bit more about that. So happy to be here.
I appreciate that. And, you know, we think about the hiring processes here, but we're also beyond the skill. We're also looking for really just good human beings that care about kids, care about the impact on families, and really focus in on the greatness of public education. And Chad brings all that to the table each and every day in his leadership roles. Very similar track between he and I, science teachers, him at the high school level, me at the middle school level, deans of students in our prospective areas, athletics, football coaches, and then the administrative journey. But the heart of who Chad is why he's here. Not that dual track, but it does help to have those similarities when you're just having conversations. And we'll dig into some of the on the field battles between Chad and I at a different day. But then I would digress, and we wouldn't be able to talk about taxes. So we'll keep that in the banks for another podcast at a different time. So let's dive right into what we're here for today, and that's talking about Wisconsin public education funding model and equalized property values and the impact on property tax bills. So, you know, just ask, how does Wisconsin fund public education? Seems like a simple question, but it's very complex. So just in layman's terms, if you could really get out to our audience, like, how would you summarize it if you were talking to somebody in the aisle at the grocery store?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I know we've got 20 minutes here today. I could spend a couple of days diving deep into the complexities of the state funding model. There are, in my mind, a few key pieces to our funding model that I don't think many property tax payers are really aware of or could articulate, and I think that's part of what makes it so complicated, in some cases, so frustrating for property tax owners. I think the biggest piece is for property taxpayers to understand that in the state of Wisconsin, we are governed by lawmakers who essentially set a revenue limit on an annual basis in terms of what our school district is allowed to spend on operating schools. So that's one of the biggest pieces that I think some people follow that on a two-year budget cycle, but we are really tied to what happens at the Capitol in terms of what we're allowed to spend per pupil to run our school district. That's one key piece. The second key piece is the funding sources, and those are complicated as well. So in our school district, about three quarters of our budget on an annual basis comes from property tax bills, local property tax bills that come from our school district applying a levy. And then in the end, that turns into what's called a mill rate. And we may discuss that in a little greater detail today. But really that the levy we set on an annual basis is a result of that per pupil revenue limit that is passed on a two-year budget cycle by our state lawmakers. The other piece that is very closely connected to property taxes is what's called state aid or equalized state aid. And that's the portion of our school district that is funded by statewide revenue sources coming from the state of Wisconsin. And the idea of equalized state aid is really where folks who are trying to determine how the heck my property tax bill looks like it does. I think a lot of people fall off there because it gets pretty complicated. But in the end, our school district is negatively aided, meaning that we get less aid than the average school district in the state of Wisconsin. And the reason for that is primarily that our property tax base per pupil is richer, quote unquote, than other school districts on the average. And the state of Wisconsin, when they set equalized state aid, they do that to try to help out the districts that are property poor when it comes to how many students they have. And it's their theory that in the end, school districts that receive less aid per pupil can make that up because they have more property tax base to tax. And a school district that has growing property tax values ends up getting less and less state aid on an annual basis. And percentage-wise, that has happened to the Verona Area School District because we are a property-rich district where we've got greenfield spaces that there is all kinds of new construction happening. And that's not necessarily the case for landlocked school districts or school districts that maybe aren't growing like we are here on the west side of Dane County. That was a long-winded answer to try to get to, I think, some of the key terms we're gonna dive into today to try to tease apart those property tax bills.
Thank you for that. And our audience hears, and we've had these conversations one-on-one or in multiple group settings, and we've used it frequently because it's the way it's discussed at the state level. Like property rich is not inferring that people are rich in our school district. We're talking about the value of property that a homeowner may own or have, or the land that they may own. Yeah.
Correct. It is. It's simply our equalized property value. And I think we're going to get into that a little bit more as we start to tease apart tax bills. So our equalized property value as a percentage of how many pupils we serve. So there are school districts. I use the example of the Lakeland Area School District in Minocqua that have a large amount of equalized property value, primarily because there's lake properties up there, but very few students. So that's an extreme example of a school district that actually receives very little, if at zero, state aid on an annual basis, because the state of Wisconsin's theory behind that is that there is a significant enough tax base there for us to not have to aid them when it comes from state support to run their school district, because you're spreading out the taxing burden. And to a lesser extent, we have more property value per pupil than the average school district in the state. But to your point, that does not mean the state is saying, every single resident is wealthy and can handle a significant tax bill. They're just saying that we have more equalized property value per pupil than an average school district.
Thank you. And when you began to touch, and we're going to go a little bit deeper at this point, around the multiple ways or the mechanisms that school districts have to collect those funds from local residents to support public education. And just a reminder to our listening audience, this is whether you have a student in a school district or not, which in most districts across the state, around 65% of a community's does not have a student in public education. So you're talking about funding that supports the value of public education and how it enhances your community. But you mentioned the tax levy or mill rate. So how does the Verona Area School District and this is a board action set our tax levy, and simultaneously, can you talk about our board's actions to be fiscally responsible and understanding the impact on our tax base?
Absolutely. So yeah, that is, in my opinion, the single most important board vote on an annual basis is that the board is the governing body that in the end sets our tax levy. And we have some flexibility that other school boards in the state don't necessarily have. And that's because of our supportive taxpayers through a referendum process. So we have two recently passed referenda on the books that our school board is tasked with managing in terms of levy impact on an annual basis. The first one was primarily the referendum that now is almost a decade old that the voters of our school district gave the school board permission to manage the debt related to our high school primarily. We also purchased some land through there and did various other miscellaneous long-term maintenance projects, but primarily that $150+ million referendum was related to our new high school coming online. So the voters gave our school board permission to manage the payment of that debt the same way if you had a mortgage on your house on a monthly or annual basis. You get to make a decision on if you just pay the minimum payment on a mortgage or you pay a little extra to try to cut into that those interest expenses. And our board has that tool on an annual basis, and they do utilize it. So that's an important piece I wanted to make sure I pulled out. And we have decided to levy extra to save our taxpayers long-term interest on that loan. To the tune, this year we'll be approaching $12 million in interest savings because of the work our school board's done related to that Fund 39 tax levy. That's one piece. The other piece is most boards in the state of Wisconsin will bump up against that revenue limit, whatever you are allowed to tax to serve your pupils. Most boards in Wisconsin will not under levy in what we call Fund 10, operating the school district. The last 4 years, we've had additional permission through a $19 million operating referendum that our board has utilized to operate our school district and do some prepayment on debt. I do want to call out, you know, a little bit of history in terms of our board managing its levy related to the mill rate. So when the referendum for the high school was passed, the initial promise to the taxpayers of the Verona Area School District was that the taxing rate would be around, in fact, there were preliminary documents that had it over $13 per $1,000 of property value as far as a mill rate. And over the last 4 years, we've taken that from pretty close to 13. It was like 1266 4 years ago. And our board has utilized a couple of tools, one main one being new construction in our school district to lower that taxing rate to historically low levels in the Verona Area School District. This year we're at 1066. So we've dropped that taxing rate by nearly 20% just over the last 4 years. And I think we may get there, but that taxing rate still can feel like higher property tax bills because the rate of growth in terms of equalized property value in many cases has gone through the roof over the last 3 or 4 years in our school district. And that's really the additional tool the board's been using to manage that local mill rate. There was actually just an article posted just last week by a nonpartisan statewide organization that our taxpayers in our state right now have the lowest taxing burden in the history of the state of Wisconsin. And that is due to lower taxes on a statewide basis, but also school districts driving down their taxing rate that we call a mill rate. And we're certainly feeling that locally. So we haven't had a mill rate at 1066 in decades in our school district. And that's because of our board utilizing the tools they have to do what they can to keep taxes in check.
Excellent. So around this time of year, usually it's about, it's in January when tax bills comes out, you know, we get our phones and our emails ready because we know there's going to be questions. And we're homeowners ourselves and we look and your tax bill, and often it's direct. There's unfortunately a direct correlation. I open my tax bill, and it's something that a school district has done, and as to why my bill. And we know that actually not to be factual. So, how do we help our audience understand when they're looking at their tax bill to understand the impact, where the impact is coming from, and how to understand the school district's responsibility as compared to other entities on their tax bill?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm certainly the one, and I happily do it. I'm the one who takes the majority of those phone calls when taxpayers do have questions around their school district portion of their property tax bill. And that's really all we can control locally is what our levy is related to the overall tax bill, where you'll see MATC and the county and a number of different entities having the ability to tax based on the value of your property. A lot of the calls we've taken over the last 2 years have actually been from residents from the town of Verona, where we have seen equalized property value increase on an annual basis, double digits, 15 to 20%, 3 years in a row. And that's really where I spend most of my time when I get calls from people who are saying, what the heck's going on with my property tax bill? 99% of those calls over the last couple of years have been from taxpayers that live in the township. And the main reason there is the Department of Revenue on an annual basis steps in and they apply something called equalized property value on top of or in a proportion to your assessed property value. And DOR is saying that the Department of Revenue is saying that properties are underassessed in the Verona Area School District, and they are applying an equalized property value ratio that in turn is pushing more of the taxing burden to folks in the town. That is my short answer there. I've had multiple phone calls that have been over an hour with property taxpayers interested in what's going on. But really, the main thing in the township is that those properties are underassessed by the municipality, and they are selling for way over assessed value each year, and the Department of Revenue is applying a ratio that is disproportionately impacting our folks in the township.
Thank you for that, Chad. And as also, just last week at our board meeting, Chad did a really good presentation where we did sample tax bills to help our audience understand. Marcy, do we have the ability to attach that to the link when we send it out?
I think we can. We'll figure something out.
Okay. So you have an additional link to be able to get some deeper perspective of how to look at a tax bill, understand impact, and ask questions to the right spaces in terms of, you know, when numbers go up or numbers go down, what is the rationale and why? And so, Chad, I want to leave our audience today with the opportunity to think about some of the advocacy that we've openly promoted, that we advocate for state funding and also a model that would better support public education in not just in the Verona School District, but across the state. And so as we leave kind of that hint of hope or and want to continue advocacy from our audience, you know, what would they need to know as far as a model that would be far more supportive of public education and maybe have less impact on property taxes?
Yeah, there are a number of different places that people who are passionate about supporting public schools could go with that question. Primarily for me, and I know Dr. Clarity has doubled down on this as well, we haven't seen an increase in line with inflation to the per pupil revenue limit in 20 years. Having our schools and our public schools bump up against this year, we got 1.7% new additional permission when the rate of inflation was close to 3. And that is just, that's not even taking into account other expenses in our school district that beat the rate of inflation, things like healthcare, or the cost of transportation, or the cost of utilities. What ends up happening is what you've seen statewide is we end up in a position that we are forced with our school board to ask our local taxpayers for extra permission to operate our school district. Kind of a utopic state for me would be you see far less energy put into referendum campaigns by public schools. And we can focus on educating our students. And the state of Wisconsin steps up and gives us permission in line with inflation to operate our school district. That doesn't mean there would never be a referendum. It means they would be much less common than they are now because we're battling inflation and we aren't getting the permission we need to keep level set with the way we operate our school district.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. I know that there was a lot to compress into a short podcast, but I really think this would be one of those episodes that people will listen to a couple of times just to get some deeper perspective of the impact of funding on public education and the programming that we can provide here in the Boronia School District and across our state, but also the financial impact that they're in individual families, because we do. We understand that we're a consumer-based business, we're in a service-based business, and we're responsible to be fiscally responsible while also making sure that we have a world-class education. And the work that Chad does here in the Boronia School District really helps that come to life. We would not be where we are if it weren't for his expertise and his leadership. So thank you, Chad, for everything you bring to our students and families.
Happy to be here. Happy to do this. I finally made the big top here in the Verona Area School District. As always, if folks who listen to this and have questions about anything related to district operations, my door, phone, and email in basket, always open and happy to have those conversations if people have questions.
All right. Thank you. Back to Marcy.
All righty. Thank you, Dr. Clarity. Thanks again for joining us, Chad. And if you could see us here where we're recording, Chad's doing all this from memory because he knows it so well. So we want to thank you for that. Thanks for your expertise. And listeners, we will catch you next time on In the Loop with the Soup.